And now as we turn to our lesson from the Gospel according to John tonight, I invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and then picking up again the second half of verse 31 through 35. And as we read, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances tonight, whatever they may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath need only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it's the evening of Passover, and Jesus is gathered in that upper room with his disciples, all of his disciples, which is a detail that I don't think we ought to miss out on. Judas is there in the room. He's there at the table with Jesus as one of the disciples. With 30 pieces of silver clinking in his pocket. Because by this point in our gospel story, Judas has already gone to the religious leaders and has arranged with them to betray Jesus. He's already betrayed him. And Jesus knows it. Jesus knows it. Not only does Jesus know that Judas is going to betray him, he knows that Peter is going to deny him. A little bit later on in the evening, after they've eaten together, Jesus says, "The one who dips the bread into the cup with me will betray me." And Peter says, "I'll never betray you. I'll die before I betray you." Which is really easy to say in the relative comfort and safety of an upper room when you're thinking this is like the Passover feast. You know, it would be like you going to your family's house for Easter dinner. You don't expect soldiers to come barging in the door. It's a place of relative safety. You can make promises to each other in that context because it's safe. It's family. This is Jesus and Peter we're talking about here. Of course, Peter would never deny Jesus. And Jesus tells him right to his face, "Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times." Which Peter doesn't say too much after that. But before all of that, before all of that conversation, before the meal has even started, there's the customary washing of the feet. Now, in these days, as you might have heard before, people wore sandals or walked barefoot different places. And, well, on dusty roads, even with the great infrastructure that the Roman Empire has to offer, the roads can get a little dusty. They have potholes, right? There's a lot of muck and gunk that can get in those feet, and it can be uncomfortable. It can hurt. And so before a relaxing meal or before an important meal like the Passover feast, it would be customary for the host to provide a bowl of water and a towel for the guests to wash their own feet. It's considered something that is so lowly that not even Hebrew slaves are made to do it. The expectation is that you're going to wash your own feet. Because, well, I mean, foot washing is a pretty intimate thing. I mean, our feet, like, we cover them up with ornate, sometimes comfortable, sometimes uncomfortable shoes. Sometimes we pay strangers to, you know, go at them with like a mortarboard and paint them up real nice. But you don't expect like your teacher or your professor or your pastor to do that for you. It would be uncomfortable for everyone involved. Having someone touch your feet, especially if it's someone that you maybe don't know very well, but you kind of know well enough. I mean, if I were to say, "Look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to fill this thing up with water, and everyone, you're all going to wash each other's feet, and not the person that you came with." You would be suddenly a little bit nervous about that, and not just because we're in the midst of a global pandemic, but because there is something about this that just, I don't know, we're protective of this. And I am too, believe me. And so it seems natural, doesn't it, that when Jesus strips down to a towel and fills up the bowl and starts going around, that Peter would be like, "Jesus? What are you doing, man? Can you stop it already? Get up. Put your clothes back on. If anything, we should be washing your feet." Peter says, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus says to him, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you could have no part of me." To which, in typical Peter fashion, he goes overboard the other way. "Well, then not just my feet, but my head and my hands too." not because he really believes in what Jesus is doing, but because he's scared of the idea of being cut off from Jesus. He doesn't really understand. None of the disciples really understand what's going on here. And, well, if we're being honest with ourselves, we probably don't understand it either. This act of deep service. Why is Jesus serving them in this lowly way that's beneath even a slave? Even a servant wouldn't do this. And yet the master is doing this for his disciples? And the word that Jesus uses to describe what he is doing for them is love. The word is love. From this point forward, what Jesus wants his disciples to think of when they think of the concept of love is this deep act of service, where you become lower than a slave in order to serve another person. And you become vulnerable enough to allow yourself to be loved and served in that same way. Jesus says to Peter, if you don't let me love you, then you can't have any part with me. It's about love. It's about love that demonstrates to the world what true discipleship is all about. We gather tonight on Maundy Thursday. Maundy, when I was growing up, I always thought, what a funny name, Monday Thursday. Like, is it on Monday? Or is it on Thursday? Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, mandate. A new commandment I give you, Jesus says. Now, come on. The commandment that Jesus gives them to love one another is not really a new commandment, is it? I mean, all the way back in Deuteronomy, you have the Shema, Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We have the command to love. That's the summary of the law, right? If we're part of a liturgical reform tradition, we hear that on a fairly regular basis. So what's new about this? What's the new command? To love one another. It's not just to love one another as you love yourself. It's to love one another as Jesus loved. And that love is about vulnerability. It's about sacrifice. It's about servanthood. And it's about community. Jesus recognizes for his disciples as he prepares to go away from them is that they need to be a community that can demonstrate who Jesus is to others. And that's why foot washing is paired with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in this scene. Jesus commands to do both of them, to wash each other's feet and to do this in remembrance of me. The two are tied together because who Jesus is and what we are called to do is wrapped up in those things as well. The church is called to be a community that demonstrates such deep service to one another that the world looks at it and sees how they love one another. Where does that love come from? It can only come from one place. Now, the reason for our observance of the season of Lent and our reason for gathering at the table of the Lord and our reason for celebrating all of these things is because of the magnification of our need for grace. Because we don't want to wash each other's feet and we don't want to have our feet washed. We don't want to serve one another or be served in such a deep and intimate way. We resist that sacrificial nature of community because it's hard work. We would rather do superficial community. We would rather watch someone else wash someone's feet and then say, okay, we're good. We're all good for everyone else. We would rather just come to a worship service and then leave and go about our lives. But that's not the community that Jesus calls his disciples to be. To be a community in name only. But instead to be this community that works hard at loving one another as Jesus loved them. That works hard at serving one another as Christ served them. And then allows that deep love and that deep service and that deep community then to overflow into the rest of the community and the world. The mandate is for love within the church, but it's a love that then is magnified and extends out into the world. And we don't get there on our own because it goes against who we are. It goes against our nature. And so again and again, week after week and year after year, we return to the table. We return to the cross. We return to the bowl. We return to the baptismal font again and again and again to hear the words, to receive the grace, to eat the meal, to commune with Christ and one another. And over time, that will that wants to run in the other direction when we see a bowl full of water and a towel begins to bend and mold and change. And the community comes together and is drawn together. That's the vision that Jesus has. And it's what he wants his disciples to know and understand before he endures what he is about to endure. And so this commandment comes to us as well, to love one another as Christ loved us. By this, the world will know that we are his disciples when we love one another. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for this new commandment. We thank you for this awesome act of service that paints such a vivid picture for us of what it means to serve each other and to serve the world in the name of Jesus. As we travel through these next 3 days, as we walk the path of Jesus to the cross and beyond, we pray that this journey would fill us with a deep sense of reverence and awe, a fear of the Lord, if you will. And may those willful parts of us that want to run in the other direction be stopped down and laid straight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.